but it's inside of the devotional. It's Acts 18, verses 9 and 10. Then the Lord said to Paul in a night vision, "Don't be afraid, but keep on speaking, and don't be silent, for I am with you, and no one will lay a hand on you to hurt you, because I have many people in this city." Amen.
On the back of your devotional, I would encourage you to turn them over. It's blank. And I would encourage you to write the following sequence. Okay? This will help you understand the message. Following sequence. Top, you put sin. Very top. Okay? Then arrow down. Next word, put curse. Arrow down. Exile. Arrow down. Repentance. And last one, arrow down. Restoration. Why? Because this is the sequence throughout Scripture of how God deals with, and last week the title of our message, deals with a nation that forgot. And distill it down, it's also how he deals with individuals who forget. What? Who forget their calling, who forget who they are. And I put this compendium together, as I call it, and last week, I made a mistake last week. I hurried through this. I don't know why I did that. I just hurried through these points, and I think that my introduction was too long, as I am wont to do. But I am so drawn to this, and I think that what I would encourage you to do, if you do devotionals during the week, if you have time with the Lord during the week, that you take this little compendium and you study it. And study it and see if you see a similarity between the nation that God's dealing with here and our nation today. I remember 9/11 when the Twin Towers came down. And yes, I'm going to be political again today. And the reason I'm going to do it is because of the verse that Teresa read from Acts. I'm tired of being quiet about this, and I think God's people need to also, like, does God have more people in the city? You know, I wonder, does he? Don't feel alone. Don't feel like you're isolated. And I remember that scene after the Twin Towers came down, and they had, a day or so later, they gathered some government officials to a dais there that was set up at Ground Zero. Do you remember that? And one of them was at that time, she was a senator from New York. And they all stood there on this dais. And you remember what they did? They sang God Bless America. Remember? To hold that in your head. God Bless America. And Teresa and I talked about my message during the week, and there was a couple of things that she helped me with that I might have made confusing. And I referred to the statue of Nebuchadnezzar. You remember that dream that he had, and he saw a statue, and the head was gold, and then it was silver, and then it was bronze, and then the legs were iron, and the feet were clay. And Teresa said, well, she wasn't quite clear on what I was getting at there. And what I was getting at there is this. That statue, even though it was, when you saw it from a distance, it looked glorious because it had a gold and silver. But when you got closer, you could see that the foundation was clay. The feet were clay. And in Nebuchadnezzar's dream, A stone breaks loose, and all that stone has to do is hit the feet. Hit the feet. And the entire statue falls, and it bursts into chaff, the scripture says, and it's blown away and never heard of again. When Judy used to work for me, she would always she was my one-woman focus group for my sermons. Sandy has now inherited that. And we would talk sometimes about prophecy, and I said, you know, the thing that bothers me about the revelatory prophecy in Scripture is the United States of America is not a major player. It seems like it almost disappears from the scene. So the statue, in my opinion, the statue is our nation. And we have feet of clay right now. And I believe that is because of one issue, one thing. See, I'm a holistic practitioner, and I talked about this last week. And as being a holistic practitioner, I always try to look for the underlying cause. Okay, a person comes in with a multiplicity of symptoms, and I try and find the underlying cause. And sometimes I can. Not always, but sometimes I can. And when I can, then I can announce to and inform the patient, well, this is the underlying cause of all of your symptoms. And more often than not, you know what happens? I've been at it now, I'm entering my 39th year. And more often than not, they're so ensconced in the habit or the practice that is robbing them of health, that is preventing them from being blessed with good health, that like the rich young ruler who came to Jesus, remember? And he comes to Jesus, and what he's asking for is blessing, isn't he? He says, Master, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? In other words, what do I have to do to be blessed by God? And he had the rich young ruler apparently had symptoms. And Jesus says to him, gives him the answer. Jesus, you know, with his penetrating knowledge of human nature, and he could size up a person immediately, he looks at him and he tells him, well, the underlying cause is that you are overwhelmed with material things. You're overwhelmed with riches, and that's your focus. And the rich young, what's he do? He turns around and he leaves. He turns his back on Jesus and he leaves. Because what he wanted and what patients want, more often than not always, they want symptoms treated. They don't want to deal with the underlying cause because it's something that they're very comfortable with and something that they're doing and something that has become normal to them. And what they want, and this is where allopathy has really, I think, hurt the health of our nation, because we're so good at controlling symptoms. We're so good at covering up and masking symptoms that's dangerous, because then the underlying cause goes marching on until it becomes a fulminating illness that is beyond our ability to intervene with. And what the patient wants is they want to be blessed with good health. Remember what I said about the government officials standing there and singing God Bless America? They want to be blessed with good health while at the same time they want to continue with the practice that is preventing them from having that good health. See, that's what they want. And there's the tension, and there's the struggle in healthcare. Which brings us to ancient Israel and brings us to the new Israel. The new Israel is the church. Because they, in your compendium from 2 Chronicles and 2 Kings, they, like we, wanted God's blessing while continuing, now mark this well, while continuing a practice that in God's own words is detestable. He says, this is detestable. Ancient Israel wanted to keep the detestable practice going. They were so ensconced in it, it was so habitual to them that they wanted to keep that going. They wanted to be blessed with God's blessing. We crave God's blessing. God bless America. We want God to bless this nation, don't we? And yet, like ancient Israel, and here's what bothers me. We, like ancient Israel, we are not only condoning this detestable practice, not only condoning it, We're promoting it. One of the candidates stands up in front of 60 million people and says, vote for me because I will not only condone this, I'm going to expand it anytime, anywhere, anyway. That's her call to get votes. And we, if you think God can bless a nation that promotes that, it goes beyond condoning it, promotes it, he can't. He can't possibly bless a nation that does that. And he withholds his blessing, and here's you know, you think of God as he wants to punish. Well, he withholds his blessing because he loves us. He withholds his blessing from our nation because of the promotion of this detestable practice, because he loves us. And I thought of my sons, that how loving a father would I be if they're doing something that is self-destructive, that is tearing at their soul, that I know is going to damage their manhood and their humanity. How loving am I as a father to bless them, bless them while they're engaged in that, see? No, the most loving thing I can do is to, if you want to say wrath, is to bring wrath. Why? Because I love them. You know, Mike Pence said it best in his debate with Tim Kaine. Mike Pence, when he asked about this issue of abortion, he said, we're better than that. That was a powerful, great answer. Don't you think that is so true? Are we not better as a species and as a nation that we would not murder our own kind, our own children, our own image bearers? And if God blesses our nation while this detestable practice is going on, well, he can't. It's against his nature. Like, I couldn't bless my boys if they were doing something like that. We were at Teresa said we were at Dick's grandson's wedding yesterday. It was a huge, beautiful church. And, you know, you've heard me say before that I've never seen the Spirit work en masse through so many different people about an issue as I have this. And as we were going in that church, they had a sign outside, and it said, 40 days to end abortion. And I told Teresa, well, they probably put that up there, well, 40 days before the election, wouldn't you imagine? It's 40 days to end abortion. And it's just, every speaker I hear, it has just permeated every pastor that is being faithful and honest to God's commission, I think, is on this and doing this. And the reason God is doing this is to protect our humanity. He wants to protect our humanity. We cannot go down this road anymore. We cannot. And he will not bless America. And for one of the candidates to have the audacity to stand up after 9/11 and sing God Bless America and then turn around and say a partial birth abortion is okay up to minute one before they're due to be born, I can't get my mind around that. I cannot. And that's where I know Brock is, again, listening, and Brock and I have been in communication about this topic, and Brock has told me that, as he put it, he said a ton of people are listening to this. And we have to stand up and confront this issue. And I think the time is here, and I think the time is now. Yeah, we're talking about the rest of our nation. We're talking about 40 years of this kind of practice because of the, again, you're not voting personalities. You're voting Supreme Court. You understand that? You're voting Supreme Court when you vote. And if we have activist judges on the Supreme Court that are going to protect this detestable practice, God is going to deal with that. He is going to. And he's going to deal with it the same way that I see here that he dealt with ancient Israel. So God's trying to protect us. We're his children. He wants us to be genuinely human. He says, you're better than this. And I thought of, here I go again with this long introduction. But I thought of, when I was preparing this, I thought of Romans 1:18. You know, I keep asking God, let me get the Romans. You know, that's my thing. Let me get the Romans. And no. But he did throw me a crumb here. He said, okay, you can use Romans 1:18. So In Romans 1:18, Paul says that God's wrath is revealed from heaven against all godlessness and unrighteousness of people. Why, Paul? Well, he tells us why. Who, by their godlessness and their unrighteousness, suppress the truth. We've suppressed the truth. The truth about what is going on behind closed doors in this nation is detestable. And the unrighteousness and ungodlessness of people suppresses that truth. Let's not, as God's people, let's not join in that. It's okay to talk about it. Like, God has more people in this city. We've been quiet too long. It's gone on too long, and it's become normal for us. He is going to reveal his wrath from heaven because this is not normal. And the truth about this practice is being suppressed. I'll get to that in a minute, about something that, I talk about the Holy Spirit working in Mass and saying, I heard a phrase yesterday from a young man, and it was exactly the phrase that God gave me this week. And I just hear those things, and I'm just taken aback by the similarity and the uniformity of the Holy Spirit working through people. And I want you to understand what happened here with ancient Israel, because I think we're on a fast track to this kind of thing. Because we are the new Israel. The church is the new Israel. And here we have King Manasseh. And King Manasseh, as you see there on your sheet, on your compendium, you see verse 1, he was imitating detestable practices. Do you see this? This is God's own definition. This is a detestable practice. And then the detestable practices are listed there. And down on verse 6 in that first paragraph, and we're in 2 Chronicles 33, 1 through 6. Down at verse 6, look, they're sacrificing their children. And we talked about that last week, about the Valley of Hinnom, and how that is synonymous in Jesus' mind as hell, because it's later called Gehenna, and then Jesus puts the epithet with it, he calls it hell. So this is what Manasseh is doing, and it's detestable. Now look at the second Kings 21:16 there. This is a significant verse here. Manasseh also shed so much innocent blood that he filled Jerusalem with it from one end to the other. I know I went over this last week, but I hurried through it. I have to slow down and take a deep breath and let this sink in. Because Teresa brought this verse. She talked about this verse with me. Now, you know the title, you see the title in today's message is Additional Sin. Additional Sin. What was Manasseh's additional sin? This was an addition to his sin that he caused Judah to commit. Manasseh caused Judah to commit a sin. And then look at the next word. Consequently, because of Manasseh, and what he condoned, like if I would be with my sons and I would condone a practice that is patently wrong, more than likely they would then say, well, it must be okay. Dad signs on with that. So I would have an additional sin. Not only the sin that I have committed, my additional sin would be I'm now causing them to sin. You see, that's what Manasseh did. And consequently, they did. Well, Manasseh's doing it. The leader's doing it. The church is being silent on this. Consequently, they did what was evil in the Lord's sight. You see, they glommed onto it. They practiced it also because the leader said it was okay. We have people in churches that are dithering about this issue. Unbelievable. That are debating it. Additional sin. Additional sin. Back to yesterday. So this young man was talking about this issue. And he said, it's legal, so that means it must be okay, right? You see that? Supporting that practice with your vote is an additional sin. Does that make sense? Because by keeping this legal, young people will look at it and say, well, just like I heard yesterday, well, it's legal, so it must be okay. Young man came to find that it wasn't okay. Changed his life. Changed his life. Gave him life. We can't support this. And we can't have an additional sin. And the church can't support this. The church has to be vocal about it. There are more people in this city. Don't be quiet, Paul says. Speak up. Do it. God will protect you. He has additional people in this city. So look down at 2 Chronicles 33, 9 to 13 there. Verse 9 in 2 Chronicles 33. So Manasseh caused... Did you see that? Manasseh caused Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to stray. Cross off Manasseh, and you put in a leader today that is going to have a grave additional sin. And it is my contention. You can take umbrage with this if you like. You can. It's my contention that signing on with that practice with your vote is an additional sin. I absolutely firmly believe that. Because what you're saying is, yeah, I want that to go on. And what will happen? You will cause by misleading. See, this young man was misled. He was misled. Because it was legal. So by voting to keep it legal, we are actually caught up in that additional sin as a church. And listen, God won't let it go. He didn't let this go. Caused the inhabitants of Jerusalem to stray. And so as a consequence, look what happened to them. So they did worse evil. Well, the leader says it's okay. It must be okay. Dad says it's okay. It must be okay. But there's a sting in the tail. Verse 10. What does God do, and why does he do it? What is God doing now in our nation? So God responds. God responds. Why? He spoke to Manasseh and his people. Why? Out of love. Out of compassion. To stop this additional sin. He spoke. How did he speak? How does God speak? How did he speak to these people? Through people, through other people, through prophets. They came to the nation. They came to Manasseh. Jeremiah is coming to these people and to Manasseh, and they would not listen. Where do I think we are here on this, on your back side of your bulletin, sin, curse, exile, repentance, restoration? You know where we are? We are right between sin and curse. We're there. We're between sin and curse, in my opinion. Disagree with me if you like. This sequence will go through. This sequence goes through in God's economy. This is what he does. And he does it to save us from a dehumanizing existence. It's not normal to sacrifice children. Not. And in God's eyes, detestable. So the Lord spoke to Manasseh and his people. He's giving them an opportunity. He's speaking to our nation. Believe me, he's speaking. You say, why do you take this on, Tim? One reason. I fear him. That's it. Popular? Absolutely not. And Brock and I, again, in our conversation, he says, brave, courageous. But he says, bring it. So he speaks to them through prophets, through people. But they didn't listen. So, verse 11, what does God do? God has no choice. What do I do with my sons? I speak to them. I see them doing something they shouldn't be doing. I see them doing something that is damaging to their health, damaging to their families, their children. I speak to them and speak to them. They didn't listen. They won't listen. So what? What does God do? He drops the hammer. He shocks them. He's going to get their attention. So he, God, is going to deal with them. God responds to what you do. Note well, God responds to what you do, and you can displease God, and he will respond. He has to. So look at verse 11. So God responds. And he brought against them, who? The ones who wouldn't listen, commanders of the Assyrian, the king of Assyria. They captured Manasseh. They're going to get his attention. With hooks, bound him with bronze shackles, and took him to Babylon. That's God's response to a non-listening king slash church. Where's the church? Where's the church in America? Where's the new Israel? Where's the outrage? How can this detestable practice be, we're at a precipice of being able to end this. That was the sign outside of the church yesterday. 40 days to end abortion. We're on the edge of being able to end this. And you would think that God's people would come together on this. So they capture Manasseh and they take him away. I'm going to allow that. Because that's yeah, he's outraged. That's right, Alec. Now look at verse 12. Yeah, is this a sin? In other words, that is irredeemable. If this sin has been committed, are you irredeemable? Well, obviously, look at the grace of God here demonstrated in verse 12. When he, Manasseh, was in distress, look at all that he had done too. Look what all that Manasseh had done. If your sins be as scarlet, yet they'll be white as snow. In distress, he sought the favor of Yahweh, his God. I'm telling you that we as a nation, when the commanders of the king of Assyria bring distress on our nation, and we are in distress, we will seek the favor of Yahweh. We will seek it. And look how we come to God. Look what is necessary. He earnestly humbled himself. He prayed. And so God hears that. God hears that. God is moved. God listens. God has mercy. God is forgiving. Manasseh has got his mind right. Manasseh has sought God, earnestly humbling and praying, and God is moved, and God forgives him. God returns him. God answers his petition, and God brings him back to his beloved Jerusalem. And in this way, you see, so in this way, through this process, Manasseh came to know that Yahweh is God. Do you see that God's wrath was revealed from heaven here, like Paul said? God's wrath was revealed from heaven against all godlessness and unrighteousness of what Manasseh was doing, because what Manasseh was doing was suppressing the truth. And God responds with that cycle. God, sin, curse, exile, takes him away to Babylon. Manasseh repents. God restores him. That is the sequence of God's action in his time-space matter world to get the trajectory changed. Now, those of you who think that you shouldn't become involved politically, or that, yes, and that God is in control, therefore I really don't have to do anything, I am pretty much into the 2 Chronicles 33:15-17 mode, in case you haven't noticed, because what God, the reason God spoke to Manasseh, the reason God spoke to his people, the reason God is speaking to me, and the reason God is then speaking to you through me, if you'll allow that, he wants action. God spoke to Manasseh to elicit action. Church, we've got to act. And look what Manasseh does. In that 2 Chronicles 33:15-17, he removes the foreign gods. He threw them outside. He's acting. This isn't an internal reality that he keeps private. Oh, I'm pro-life, but I had that conversation this week, and I just go away scratching my head. God speaks to us, so we act. He brought the prophets to get the people to act. You can't have, oh, I'm pro-life, but I'm going to support this practice kind of attitude. Absolutely unacceptable. Additional sin. By keeping it legal, you're misleading. He threw them outside. He built the altar of the Lord. Then he told Judah to serve Yahweh, the God of Israel. And then the verse that is very pivotal here is verse 17. What happens in verse 17? If you think you can be pro-life and still sacrifice on the high places, you cannot. However, the people still sacrificed at the high places. Oh, but only to Yahweh their God, they said. Oh yeah, I'm a Christian. That's the conversation I had this week. Yeah, I'm a Christian, but I'm still going to sacrifice on the high places. Oh, yeah, I sign on. Yeah, I'm pro-life, but I'm still going to sacrifice on the high places. God made it very clear. Why is that so wrong here? If you understand Israel, God gave a commandment to these people that the only sacrifices were to be done where? In the temple. In his temple. In the Lord's temple. None of this hybrid faith. None of this, yeah, I'm going to take a little bit of the world's philosophy and I'm going to combine it with Christianity, and I'm going to come up with a hybrid faith that allows me to still sacrifice at the high places, but I'm still pro-life, and I'm still serving Yahweh. No, this is verse 17 is the reason that God brings his judgment against this nation, because the people had not changed their hearts. God wants action. And God demands action. And he speaks to me and he speaks to you so that we act. We do not keep it private. It is time for us to stand up as a body. It is time for us to stand up as a church, as the new Israel, and say, we will not condone, and we are certainly not going to promote someone who wants to amp this practice up, because if we do that, we are guilty of additional sin. We're allowing this practice to continue. Now, I know that this is hard-hitting, and I know that there will be disagreement on this. I absolutely understand that. But, you see, let's just talk for a minute. Young people, or older people, and like this young man I heard yesterday, become victims. Can you go there? They become victims. See, they become victims of the legality of this murder. And because it's legal, they get sucked into it, and later they find there is a sting in the tail. You see, we perpetuate the victims of this practice by not saying with one voice as a church and as a people of God, we will not allow this to go on anymore. This is, as a holistic practitioner, the whole host of symptoms in our nation, and they are many. All of the symptoms in our nation, we have to look for the underlying cause, and we have to say, what caused God's blessing to be removed from the United States of America? What caused the exile? What caused God's blessings to leave? And we have to say, if we're rational and if we're objective and if we're honest thinkers, we have to look at the history of our nation. And there is a common thread that goes right back to the legalization of this practice. God cannot bless the United States of America while this is going on. And we have to have the courage to stand together and stop this detestable practice. Next week I'm going to go on with this, and I hope that you can study these verses and keep those with you and bring them back with you next week, please. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would you would talk to your people, you would speak to your prophets and to your people, and that we would listen, Lord, and that we would stand together against this detestable practice. And I'm praying for our nation, Lord. I pray that your hand would be involved, and I ask this in your strong name. Amen.